way too close, you and me.
Good morning. Hey, what a great day, isn't it? I promise I won't speak too long, but I do want to share something with you. First thing I want to share with you is, where'd it go? In your bulletin, if on the bulletin for the program, if you notice on the back, it lists everybody, and I just wanted to highlight those names. Look through that and see who gave so much time and effort and energy. And while you're looking at it, down at the bottom, I think on the left, it says makeup artists, and it has me listed. That's a mistake. I do face painting, which is very different than makeup artists, and I just want everybody to know that. Okay, so the idea behind Adore Him, this program that we put on, is kind of like the story of the little drummer boy. You know the song that you hear at the beginning of the Christmas season and you love it and it's so wonderful, and then by December 25th you're sick of it, except for now that Herbie's changed it forever for me, it's my favorite. I'll never listen to it the same again. But anyway, the idea is of this little boy who didn't have anything to give to Jesus except his little skill of playing a drum. And he discovers he's very insecure about it, but he discovers that's exactly what God wanted from him. That's exactly what the Lord wanted. And so the idea this morning is that what we have, we bring it to the Lord. And we give it to him as an offering. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Our life is worship. What we do is worship. And we bring it to God and give it to him. I want to read the text this morning from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 and 3 and 4. It says, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus to the whole empire that it should be registered. And so everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Somebody told me once that there are three stages in life that you go through in relation to Christmas. Stage one, you believe in Santa Claus. Stage two, you are Santa Claus. And stage three, you begin to look like Santa Claus. And I've gone through my own stages in relation, I may be going through that stage as well, but my own stage in relation to Christmas, as a kid, I was pretty sure that Christmas revolved around me. Christmas was about what I would get in my stocking. Christmas was about what I had under the tree with my name on it that I would shake and try to figure out what was in there. But I was pretty sure that Christmas centered on me. I've learned as I've grown up, of course, that Christmas is all about him. And so I've grown up in that way and grown through that. When I was a kid also, I remember that I used to think Christmas, I was very idealistic when it came to Christmas. There were certain Christmas traditions that had to be kept. Everything had to be done just right. You had to do it exactly the way you'd done it in years prior, or else Christmas just wouldn't be right. If you missed Frosty the Snowman or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on the TV back then, kids, you couldn't just order it. It came on one time. And if you missed it, you ruined Christmas. I felt like I was like one of those baseball players that steps out of the batter's box in between each pitch and undoes his batting glove and then redoes it. I don't know why they do that. You didn't even swing. But anyway, you have to do it the same way every time or else it's not exactly right. But I've learned, of course, as I've grown to look more and more like Santa Claus, that Christmas is filled with imperfections and mistakes. And I'm okay with that. In fact, I think that's the miracle of Christmas. The miracle of Christmas is found in its imperfections. I remember when I first began to get an inkling of this as a kid, my parents took me to a live nativity scene. In fact, it was in Denton. It was at First Presbyterian Church on University Drive, you know, right down there on University and Malone. or Hinkle, maybe it is. And my parents took me there. I remember it was a cold night. They had cows. There was a camel. There were sheep. And I remember all of that. And I also remember that my neighbor was one of the shepherds, which was pretty stupid because I also knew that he was a high school student at Denton High School. And he was wearing glasses. So that didn't really work. I also noticed that one of the wise men had a stocking cap under his crown and a Carhartt jacket under his robe. And I'm pretty sure he had a wad of tobacco in his mouth. And it stunk. I remember that it stunk. And all I can say with the kids here this morning is that it smelled like authenticity. And I think that was probably the only thing about that whole nativity scene that was authentic, was the smell. I remember thinking Jesus was born into this. See, the first Christmas wasn't perfect. And so if you're not perfect and your family isn't perfect, then you're uniquely qualified for Christmas because it's not about perfection. In fact, there are a couple things every year that'll gum up the works for Christmas for you if you're not careful. I want to share three of them with you. Number one is timing. Have you ever said, I'm just not ready for Christmas? Or Christmas came quickly this year, or Christmas snuck up on me? Have you said anything like that? Now, how is that even possible? Because Christmas is on the same day every year. It's on the last week of the year. It's on every calendar. And when it's over, you've got 364 days to get ready for the next one. That's plenty of time, people. Christmas should not sneak up on you. But I remember years ago when my mom died and my dad had his first Christmas without her after having spent the last 37 Christmases together. And I remember my wife and I talking and we said, Dad's not ready for Christmas this year. And when there's families here in this room that have loved ones serving in Afghanistan or other dangerous places around the world, they're not ready for Christmas this year. And when you lose your job and you're out of work temporarily, you're not ready for Christmas this year. When we say we're not ready for Christmas, we're not talking about the day or the calendar or the date. We're talking about the circumstances. If you've lost a loved one, or if you're in poor health, or you have a family member in the service, or you're going through a divorce, or you're alone, or you're in difficult financial straits, Christmas can be difficult. That first Christmas involved difficult timing and difficult circumstances. A decree issued by Caesar in a faraway place, well beyond Joseph's control, and made life a nightmare for them. It made it very difficult. Christmas was quite inconvenient for them. Mary and Joseph weren't ready. Christmas snuck up on them. But the story is about God showing up anyway, isn't it? People can mess up Christmas too. I don't know if you know that. Those Christmas commercials that are out at this time of year drive me insane. Everybody's perfect. Have you noticed that? Everybody is perfect. People, perfect families. I may live in the wrong city or something, but I don't know anyone that looks that perfect, except for my wife. So how come this guy walks out of his house Christmas morning, newly fallen snow, there in the driveway is a giant is a Lexus with a giant bow on it. How come he's not short and stocky and balding? And how come there's snow everywhere except on the car? And where do you get a bow that big? But that's just TV. The reality that we live in isn't perfect. Families are filled with, we'll just say, unique people. You're here this morning with unique people. You can't answer this. You can't say amen right now because you're sitting next to unique people. So I'll say it for you. Each one of us is unique. We are frustrating. We are irritating. And then we decide once a year to get all together under the same roof, feed the kids filled with candy and sugar, get them out of school, put all the extra pressure on us for holiday gift giving and fun family holiday fun, and we call it Christmas, and it can get weird. But I love the Christmas story because God sent out the invitations. He sent the invitations to the shepherds. These were the lowest of the low in the Jewish world at the time. These are people that love hot dogs and bowling leagues. These are people that drive up in farm trucks. But he also invited the kings. These are caviar eaters and polo players, and they drove up in Bentleys. Things were pretty weird. God sent the invitations. Of course, places make Christmas challenging as well. No one would ever choose a manger to bring a child into the world. That was never Joseph and Mary's intention, of course. We read in the Bible story that they went to the inns, but there was no room for them. And so tradition tells us that they were in a manger outside of town. Now, we usually think of a manger in terms of a barn, but some scholars believe that really it was a step lower than that. It was a cave that this child was born into. Places can mess up Christmas as well. We need a spreadsheet calendaring all the strange places we have to go at Christmas. Parties, events, family, work, church, school. People start sending out save the dates announcements in June now, just so they can get on the schedule for all the Christmas parties. Then we argue about whose parents we're going to go see this year, or we went to see your parents last year, and we spent 10 more minutes at your parents than we did at my parents. I'll be glad to go if your crazy Uncle Larry isn't going to be there. Last week, after church, we went to Dallas to see my niece in the Nutcracker, and the Nutcracker Ballet, and I loved it, and it was wonderful, and we took my son. My son, he's a great sport. His niece adores him, and so he went to support her. I don't think he's a big fan of ballet. But we had a wonderful time together, but I could hear him under his breath over there quoting our beloved Apostle Paul. Love endures all things. Love endures all things. There were some other Christmas places he would have probably rather been. The point is that Christmas comes every year. Christmas comes anywhere. Christmas comes under any circumstances. Christmas comes under any combination of events, and it doesn't come perfectly. It comes imperfectly. And that's the beauty of it. That's the miracle of Christmas, is that in the days ahead, some of you will get stressed out. And some of you will get angry. And some of you will be driven crazy by someone. And some of you will drive other people crazy. But God loves those places. And when he shows up, he finds it much like he found the first Christmas. And he walks into your home and everything's going crazy and he says, seems normal to me. I want to close with this one thought. If you don't hear anything else that I've said, I want you to listen to this. Christmas isn't about perfect timing. Christmas isn't about perfect people. Christmas isn't about perfect places. The most important thing I think about Christmas is the security that it offers us, the security that it brings us. You see, Christmas doesn't last. I mean, it's at one day of the year. Joseph and Mary celebrated the birth of their son, Jesus, and it was quite a celebration. There were angels, there were visitors. It was an amazing night, that first Christmas, but the very next day, they're running for their lives. It's not long in the scriptures that we find out that they're hiding in Egypt from a murderous king who was protective of his throne. Real life happens. And we try to put it on pause for a day, one time of the year. We try to put real life on pause. But after the gifts are exchanged, and after Dad makes his rounds with the trash bag, picking up wadded up wrapping paper and bows, and after the decorations are all back up in the attic, real life returns. Some of it is good, some of it is bad, some of it is positive, some of it's negative. But Christmas isn't about the day. It's about Christ. When the day is gone, Christ remains. Jesus never leaves. It doesn't matter if you're not perfect. It doesn't matter if your life's not perfect. It doesn't matter if your family's not perfect. It doesn't matter if the only thing you can bring to Jesus is playing on a drum. That's not what the Lord's after. The Lord's after you, just as you are. That's what He wants for Christmas. Would you stand up? I want to pray for you. And I'm going to ask you to do this. I was going to open the altar, but we're so crowded today, I don't think that the fire marshal would appreciate that. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you just to get with your family, your imperfect, unique family. And if you're alone this morning, then you get with a neighbor. And I want you just to pray together, just very quickly, and I'll close this in a moment. But I want you to pray together and offer your Christmas celebration to Him, to adore Him. Say, Lord, to this Christmas, we give You our family. It's imperfect. Everything's not perfect in our world, but such as we have, we give to You. Would you do that? Let's pray. Lord, right now we come to You, grateful that You would send Your Son, Jesus. Our goal today is to worship Him. And so, Lord, we give You our families. Just pray to Him right now. Some of you may be lonely this Christmas. You may not have family with you. But the psalm tells us that God takes the lonely and He puts them in a family. And we want to be your family. And so we want to pray for you. Lord, specifically those who don't have anyone near them at this moment. We're grateful that You brought them into our lives. And for their friendship as a part of this church family, Lord, ask that You would minister to them, that this would be a joyous occasion, that all the things around us, the things that we see related to Christmas, they would all just fade away as we really see You high and lifted up, that this would be a worshipful time for them, this Christmas celebration. Lord, for those that are grieving over this Christmas season, where they've lost something or they lost someone, would You touch them by Your Holy Spirit? Same Holy Spirit that led those angels to get the wise men and the shepherds to bring us to Jesus, the same Holy Spirit that brings us to Jesus. Minister to us, we pray, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we ask that today You would be pleased to receive our worship. We're grateful, Lord, for such talent that You've given to this church. But Lord, we want to use everything that You've given us for Your glory. So our desire, Lord, is that You be glorified today. And in our homes, that You be glorified. And on our Christmas celebration, that You be glorified. Everything we do, everything we say, every intent of our heart, every thought, every word out of our mouth would bring You glory. That's our desire, Lord. Realizing, of course, that we're imperfect and unique people. But Holy Spirit, You can lead us to that. We pray that You would. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We adore You. We worship You. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, we will have ministers here up at the altar. If we could pray for you. before you leave today. If you have a need, if you want to pray with somebody, you feel lonely, you just need a hug, you need someone to pray for you, let us minister to you before you go. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and turn His face towards you. And the Lord bring you His peace. Thank you. God bless you. You're dismissed.